Great to see you guys. And my name is Ash Metry, and many of y'all already know Eric here tonight, Lord. So we're honored to be here. I know it's just a privilege to be here together and with these awesome men here. We're going to do something a little different. Looks a little bit different than the last couple of weeks. And Eric, can you share a little bit why we do this and what we're going to do?
Guys, Ash and I, we've chosen to live life together. It's not an easy thing to do, but we've been in groups together. We've ministered together. We've worked out together a lot. We've competed with each other a lot and tried to lift heavy weights against each other. And we've prayed together a lot. But probably even more than that is we've got to minister to men and to families together. And we want to challenge each of you, as Jesus sent out the disciples 2 by 2 tonight, to talk about the courage of being able to go somewhere with another man together. We want to have a real conversation with you about courage and what the Bible says about it, looking at Joshua and Romans 12. Not just these big heroic moments, but what it looks like to live courageously on a daily basis. Joshua followed Moses for about 40 years, and after Moses died, Joshua had God, and he was commanding him. But he also had his brother Caleb. His Caleb was one of the other spies that went into the promised land with him. 10 fell away, 2 were faithful, 2 believed in God. And that's what we're trying to share tonight. How do we spur each other on with brotherhood? But they aren't the only examples of that. David had Jonathan. Paul and Silas, Paul and Barnabas, Moses and Aaron, James and John. I mean, the list goes on and on, guys, of the people that were sent out 2 by 2.
So true. Anyway, Aiden, can we get that first picture? Look at that. How awesome is that? Who does not want to be one of those guys or have one of those moments, right? Like, it's save the baby, rescue the girl, like make the leap or just earn the respect of the men around you. Joshua leading God's people in the promised land or Daniel stepping out of the lion's den. I mean, no one wants to be in the lion's den, but that moment when you are out victorious, celebrating that God did something amazing. Who doesn't want a moment like that in life? But I believe it's just there's something glorious in that. And I think we as men are wired for aching for these kind of moments. There is a peace that wants us to stand in the gap. Now, let me show you another picture that looks a little different, less cinematic, maybe. I would argue that this is still standing in the gap, in a very much a biblical kind of way. Maybe not less as intense, but it's very much standing in the gap. And this is standing in the gap in a fight that many men would likely avoid. And it's the kind of gap that even the world will mock and consider weakness. So in moments like this, pride dies. And in many ways, that's when breakthroughs tend to happen, when you let go of this pride and you get on your knees for a brother or for yourself or your family. So, Eric, can we talk a little bit about that?
Amen. Amen. If pride has to die for a breakthrough to begin, it takes courage. Not superhero courage, but just courage to surrender. Because it isn't about trying harder. It's about a breakthrough, and that breakthrough starts when you realize you're loved. You're invited to be part of God's family. That's what happens when you become a child of God, and you're not fighting for approval, you're fighting from it. Most of us won't be called to die for our faith, but we will be called to live it out, especially when it gets hard. That picture right there, that's the beginning of real courage. It's not a man proving he's strong, but it's a man being covered and covering his brother.
I was talking to a friend of mine, and he was saying We're talking about the armor of God from Ephesians that some of y'all know what I'm talking about. The helmet of salvation is for you, but the shield of faith cannot just cover you, but cover the brother standing next to you. I mean, think about movie 300, that shield, it's not just for yourself. It's the people next to you, right? And there is something about faith that is not just protection in the individual level, but coverage for the circle of influence that you're part of. So let's put that into action. I know we're talking about this before. Let's break it down into steps or pieces. Can you walk us through some of that?
Yeah, so let's go to the next slide. Romans 12 tells us there's a way of life, a rhythm. It's got three parts. It starts with surrender. It's presenting yourself as a living sacrifice, and you have to do it in love. Number two is letting God renew your mind. And three is living out God-given purpose with others in community. So it's heart, mind, and hands.
Let's talk about that first one, surrender and living sacrifice. What does that look like for us men here tonight?
Gentlemen, it's about laying down your life. It's about Eric putting down my body, my habits, my time, my rights, and saying, my life is yours, Lord. Not one time in some brave proclamation, but daily saying yes to the Lord.
And for someone like you who likes to lift weight, yes, that's not willpower, that's not human strength, that's prayer, that's worship. Mm-hmm. Second one, renewal of the mind. Verse 2, I'm looking at it. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Let's talk about that renewal of the mind. Paul goes from that posture of surrender to thinking, right? Why? Why does he do that?
Because, guys, the moment we resist the Lord and not let him renew our minds, we start trying to take control back. We start drifting. We start going back to the world's definition of what it is to be a man. It's about performance and power and comparison. The world tells you and tells me you've got to prove yourself every day in the fight. But God says you need to prove nothing. Surrender and just let me transform you to be like Jesus. If your mind stays the same, you're not going to change. You're going to be the same. But if you allow God to rewire the way you see things, what you want, your desires, what you chase, everything changes.
Amen. If you keep thinking about the same thing, that cycle of insanity or circle of insanity, essentially you're expecting something different, but in reality what you're doing is you're coming up with better excuses to do the same thing over and over. Brotherhood and community, how does that look like exercised outward, the hand part?
So, guys, pride, it isolates us, but courage connects us. It takes courage to step into a community. It takes courage to step into front of a brother and go, I want to be known. I lived like this prideful, isolated life for about 40 years. I thought I had all the answers. I was a good leader. I was leading at home. I was doing what I'm supposed to, following Jesus. But not the way the mirror of Romans 12, verses 4 and 5 show us. The text says we're one body with different gifts. You can't live Romans 12 isolated because it's full of one another's, loving one another, honoring one another, praying for one another. That only can happen in community.
Amen. I do love that it breaks and moves from the altar, surrender, your heart posture, to your mind, your heart, your whole being to the outside, to your hand, which is what it looks like in the way you love and you experience brotherhood for us men or love for your family and people around you. And Paul gets painfully practical explaining what courageous love looked like. Verse 9, hate what's evil, hold on to what's good. Verse 10, outdo each other in showing honor. Verse 14, bless those who persecute you. it's not just pretty verses, not just pretty words that sound good, but they're actually lived out by many men in this picture that you and I have been honored to do life with.
Yes.
These are men that swim upstream when the world around them, when culture tells them to hide. I'm thinking of a man that I know in this circle who has or had someone working for him. The world told, and he stole. He stole from him. It was his company, and he stole from him. And then everything says, fire this man, shame him, make sure that everybody in the company knows that this happened so they don't do the same thing. But instead, this man chose to invest in this guy, spending time with him, discipling him, sharing scripture, and that act of mercy multiplied in the men around this guy, which I think that's, it doesn't get any more practical than that, than living out the gospel and living out what Jesus called us to do. I'm looking at the picture and I'm seeing men waging war for one another, praying for marriages to be healed, praying for kids that are sick. I mean, this is standing in the gap. It's real strength, especially under control. I know a man who walked away and instead of holding his ground and hanging on to pride, he went home and washed his wife's feet because they were struggling at that time. And that's real life. You have a unique story. Again, I keep going to the workout thing because I know you do that and many people know that about you. So your definition of strength got challenged big time. Mm-hmm. Share a little bit about what you've learned, what God taught you, and what you've experienced.
So I grew up in a church-going family, but under a lot of discipline. My dad really believed in that, and he grew up with that way. And so that discipline of that, putting your head down and going and go and work and take the hill, was modeled to me at home, but it was also modeled to me in the military. It was one of those things, we just didn't stop. We figured out a way to get there. But what I didn't see with that is I didn't see Christian Brotherhood modeled. I didn't see, how do you share as a man, how do you share your struggling with your wife? How do you share that you, one of your kids is wayward? How do you share that you made some poor financial decisions on an investment and not feel ashamed but and not stuff it down? I lived this way for really about 40 years until I had brothers at church, until Ash, Matt, and a number of other guys that I knew from church but also from the gym started challenging me to live like Christ. They asked me to surrender every part of my life to God consistently, and I didn't know what that meant. I didn't know how to be different, I knew how to be different at work. I could be different at home. I could be different at church. I could be different in my neighborhood. I could be different at the gym. So that's a lot of walls that I had to break down, but it took brothers standing there asking me questions of, Eric, why do you do that? And it was really hard to hold that persona in each of the different environments. I had to make life change, and that life change was difficult, but I had brothers that showed me it's possible, and the only way I could do it is the courage of another man speaking into my life that I had a relationship with because we had developed one. So that's, to me, what real courage is, my friendship with Ash and others standing up asking me real questions.
I remember us, we give you a hard time about, you know, the kids' plates in the cafeteria with the peas in one corner and the mac and cheese in another, and essentially that was your life.
Yeah, Cindy shares that with me often.
We came and just put it all together. I'm like, man, live in one life, you're the same. And it's awesome to be able to do that together, mm-hmm. and it's a privilege. And I think if everyone is being honest, we all have these moments that, on one hand, can look very heroic. I know that for myself, growing up in a different culture, being in pretty shady situations where it was life and death in some areas and all the travels that I've done. But if all of my stories with my friends and the people I know are all full of these kind of experiences, I'm portraying an image that is far from reality, like a social media reel that the house is clean, look how perfect we are, which is, no one lives like that forever. This moment would be, if I have a few of those moments, I have way more moments where my wife went to bed crying because of my failures, my addictions, my anger problems, the things that I brought home. And that, in many ways, is living a lie, because you're putting the spotlight on just one piece. And I'm grateful for God putting people in my life that got to call out blind spots, that got to remind me of what God is planning in my life. And I'm grateful that we get to do a lot of that together.
Amen. So, guys, what I want to tell you is that courage is daily surrender. If we keep our eyes on Jesus, we don't drift. And that courage gets sharpened in community. It's an example of me walking into the gym and Ash looking at me going, "What's wrong with you?" And I haven't said a word. What happened today? It's Ash having the same thing with something work-related, and it, you know, he's either excited or not, and he's struggling. But it's an ability to sense in a brother what's going on in their life that only comes because you've chosen to reach out, you've chosen to ask a question, and you've chosen to be available to another man. And that takes real courage. But that's how we spur each other on towards obedience to God.
I'm reminded, and I know it's one of those verses that gets thrown a lot in men's ministry, especially iron sharpens iron, right? Which is, on one hand, it's used a lot, but mm-hmm. on the other hand, if you think of that process, there's friction, there's heat, it's uncomfortable. If you've seen what that looks like, no one wants that in their life. Yet, iron sharpens iron is how weapons are forged. Mm-hmm. That's how we grow, right? And I know for myself, when I'm fully known to a brother, many of them are in this room, that we get to do life together. They get to call out blind spots. They know the buttons that Satan likes to push and what time of day. Those tend to be easy access, right? They're not like the nuclear button with a cap on it. No, it's open many times. And they're brothers that are like, "Hey, I know what this tends to be or where you tend to go. Let me protect that part of your life." Men that speak life into you. And I know that we cannot, and I think this is for all of us, like we cannot hide behind these incremental small changes and call mediocrity like growth and maturity, mm-hmm. right? Because it's easy for us to settle, and Satan likes to twist these things. I'm like, "Oh, you're doing so good. You don't need to improve. You've already just stopped that little thing. That's huge. Just, you're good." One thing I do admire about you is the way you steward moments. So you run multiple businesses. You have family, daughter, family, wife, a lot of people around you. You like to work out. I think we established that.
I do like to work out.
So that all that takes time. And there are moments where when you see a man is hurting in the circle around you, this takes priority. And you don't waste time in small talk. You're not talking about the Astros or the Texans and all of that stuff. All of that becomes far, far when you can talk about something real. If there's marriages that are bleeding or health issues that need prayer, you step into that. And that's been super encouraging to me and convicting in many ways, and I appreciate that. And I think everybody wants that kind of relationship, and I hope that if we walk away from tonight, that it's not just an inspirational, like, "Oh, go find a brother," but even though I believe that everybody needs to have a group of men that have access to ask these kind of questions, to truly look you in the eyes and say, hey, man, how are you doing? Like, really, how are you doing? Forget all the other stuff. Like, what can I do?
And don't take I'm okay for an answer.
Yeah.
You will stand there and ask the question again if you have to, and again, and you be available, because when that dam breaks, that man needs you.
Amen.
He needs you in that moment, so be there for him.
Amen. I think that should be our takeaway for the night. Can you pray for us before we give the time back to our table leaders? Let's pray for those moments of the Calebs, the Joshuas, the people that went to war together or were jailed in prisons together and worshiped together, the Paul and Silas singing until the jail cell opened. Like, there is something about that you can be a difference maker and truly someone who is literally a kingdom builder.
Amen.
For God and for the betterment of our families. Please.
Dear Lord, we thank you so much for tonight, Lord. I just thank you for just this place and this time and each one of these men that have chosen you, that have chosen relationship, Jesus, with you and walk and want to walk in the fullness of what it is to be free, what it is to live a surrendered life, what it is to be renewed by you, God, with your word every day and by your Holy Spirit. And Lord, how do we enter your God-given will for our purposes in life, in community? God, I pray for each one of these men, and I pray for that you will just meet them right now with your spirit and prompt them to there's another man that they already have in their mind that they can reach out to. Because, Lord, our world can change with us. Our world can change by us taking a step forward in faith to go and ask that brother a question. Go, can I have a coffee? Can I spend some time with you? How are you doing? How's your wife? How's your family? Please share with me what's going on and let me share my life with you. Because the ripple effects of that we won't see. But God, you will. And God, you will use that faithfulness and that obedience to further your kingdom, and you will get the glory for it, God. We need you as men to be our leader so that we can lead well. And Lord, we love you. We thank you for this evening, and we thank you just for everything about what Jesus did for us through that cross, which shows us your total love for us forever. Lord, I love you and thank you. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. Amen. Amen.